He was a provincial cup champion on the footy field, dominated the Ironman claimers, and now is a Group 1 tipster. His name is David Gately, or Gator to his mates. So let's welcome in Gator for Racing Rewind on RSN Central.
It's a very good morning to you, David Gately.
Hello, Mr. Hall.
Terrific weekend of racing. We'll start off with that Caulfield meeting. We might start off, of course, in the Group 1 Sir Rupert Clarke Stakes. I love a handicap, and I think the handicapper got it right, basically, looking at the weights, because I think most horses performed at their very best in the end, as history has told you over the years, that if you carry 54 and a half or less, you've got a wonderful chance of winning that Group 1.
Yeah, well, the first four over the line, there was only a length over them, and they all had 52 kilos. Probably has only been beaten 1.2, Behemoth 2.2, but they were the two horses, clearly disadvantaged by the handicap, but you've referenced that. But they pay for that. They're paid for what they've achieved. Handicap racing is a real feature in this country, and I hope we never lose it.
So just looking, if that race was a weight for age, I think Dan O'Sullivan tweeted this the other day, is that you probably would have nearly had the same result that Probabil would have won the race under his particular ratings. And I think Sierra Sue was next. So, yeah, I found that pretty interesting to read, Gator.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? I mean, obviously, every single time you run a race, there's so many different variables, aren't there? So I guess you're sort of working on everything running to its peak performance, and everything having every chance, which clearly is dreamland, it's fairy tale land. But it's an interesting exercise to do. That race in particular, there were probably three outstanding individual performances, and they were the first three, and then a stack of really good runs, and then a couple of complete forgive runs, and that's probably what you'd get most times.
What's been the difference with Sierra Sue? She headed up to Mildura for a Mildura Cup, and since then she hasn't looked back.
Yeah, I'd like to know the answer, because my job is to find winners before the race. Generally speaking, what she's doing now... Look, I think she had some soundness issues last prep. She was a brilliant winner at Flemington, and I thought to myself, how good's this thing? Running those sort of freak sectionals. But she never really recaptured that until her last couple of starts, where sat wide in a Lawrence, still too good. Clearly, the unlucky story, one of them in a Fian at weight for age, comes back to a handicap, back to 1,400 and a terrific win. You go and watch that replay. Look at her at about the 300. She's hard at it. Even at the 200, I wrote in my notes here, she's still unlikely to win. She's flat out, but just responds. And that will to win, I think, is something that she has picked up and run with. And I think when the chips were down at the 200, and a few of them were right at their top, maximum effort, she was able to dig the deepest. I thought the win was just that outstanding.
If you've got a question for Gator, let us know, 0416 90 50 52. So she was really good. I thought Dice Roll, that was a big effort as well. He was off the track throughout. Fred Kersley got cover at some parts of the race. I don't think he could have done too much more. And he tried his heart out, Dice Roll. And then we go to Om Thunderstruck. The barrier beat him. He was enormous as well, because he was playing dodging cars as they swung for home as well. He had more hits than Elvis Presley in the concluding stages.
Yeah, I mean, well summed up. I mean, Dice Roll, I saw it exactly the same way. Sat six, perfect spot given the tempo, three wide. I had cover mostly in my notes. Then he lost his trail, but he had clear air, and others didn't. Plus the fence was off a bit. So, look, I don't think it cost him the race. I think the right horse, out of those two, still won. Sierra Sue was just off him, but even wider. So I don't think you take anything away from the winner. And I'm Thunderstruck. Not many win from that spot. 12, 13 lengths off at the 500. To get as close as he did, despite being unbalanced, it's such a key point when he's trying to build his momentum, was, you'd say, costly, but it doesn't detract from the run that was outstanding. And didn't they come for him? The money for him was phenomenal. And look, I think it's a case of operation successful, patient died. I think probably shouldn't be saying that in this time of day and age, but look, his run was probably the best run in the race. So I think you've got the right, you got it right, but you're not rewarded in your pocket, unfortunately.
Because he did divide opinions a little bit on Thunderstruck, because when you had a look at the speed map, for instance, he was $7. He gained to start Friday night when Streets of Avalon came out. But what price do you think he should have started, knowing that there was every chance that he would have been last in this field as they swung for home?
After the race, he's an even money chance. Yeah. If you're framing the market now, because
even if he settles last in the race,
well, I think. Look, I tipped him on Wednesday, even when I saw the barrier, just hoping he'd get into the field. What I thought was by race eight, and I text this to his jockey manager. I said the fence will probably be off. He'll be back and wide with a trail, clear air, and unleash run over him. Now, he ended up back, you know, last. Yep. But the horse outside him, you know, we didn't see that coming. He had a horse outside him keeping him in. And from barrier 16, that's unfortunate. But it is what it is, you know. They're not entitled to let him out.
No.
I wouldn't. If I was riding Dulles, I wouldn't let him out either. But, you know, it's competitive racing. But, you know, his effort to get that close, I mean, you just don't see it.
So right now with Ayrton news breaking today from Benny Sproul from racing.com that Ayrton will be sent to the paddock after being bitten by that spider. So is I'm Thunderstruck the horse to beat now in your eyes heading towards the Golden Eagle?
Yeah, it's we're not going to get that 10,000 to collect, are we, where they're all up? But
I apologise for that, breaking that news to you today.
Never liked spiders.
No.
It's arachnophobia. It's just doubled.
Especially
Oh, God. What are the odds? Anyway, yeah, look, he's a proper horse. I think we all know that. Even if we didn't know it before the race, we know it now. You know, he runs the times of an exceptional athlete. I think he's still even learning his craft a little bit. 1,500 looks ideal. Might get a bit of jar out of the track. So, look, he's, you know, it's obviously only a four-year-old's race. There's some good ones. But he's in the picture, absolutely.
David Gately, Gareth Hall with you on this Monday morning here. We are going through the races at Caulfield and also Randwick for Racing Rewind. It was just a terrific day's racing. We're talking about on Thunderstruck. Maybe he's our number one seed heading towards, of course, the Golden Eagle now. Outside of on Thunderstruck, Dice Roll, Sierra Sue, who got the tick and who got the cross there, Gator? Acer, I thought, was very good. Probabil was terrific. And she backs up, of course, in the Underwood on Saturday.
Yeah, she's good given she had the 57, didn't she? So relative to weight for age, obviously she had to give 5 kilos to these up-and-coming males. So she's run really well. Acer, you mentioned, was good closer to that speed. He was the horse in the finish that settled closest to the speed. It was a strongly run Group 1 race. You know, they ran over 4 lengths above Group 1 average for the first half of it. So it was a proper test and certainly gave the run-ons their chance. Barossa didn't quite finish off. I know he was closer to the speed. I think he might be better ridden a little bit colder off that sort of tempo. But, you know, he still ran okay. Some sneaky good runs for Amish Boy without luck. Yep. Romancer for the right race is a horse I want to back very, very soon.
Let's have a look at some of the other races there on that program. Nonconformist Graham Begg was bullish all the way through his preparation, saying that I think he's a Caulfield Cup horse. Mm. He's now in the Caulfield Cup after winning the Foundation Cup. And is he a lightweight chance in that great race in a couple of weeks' time now, Gator? Or do you think he needs to find a few more lengths?
Look, no, I think he's a lightweight chance, given, yep, you know, it's a handicap. So, you know, he had 55.5 on the weekend. It looked a perfect race for him, didn't it? I mean, just absolutely leapt off the page, back from weight for age. Had the perfect run in transit. Was a bit keen early, you know, but he's only third up, I guess. And then showed good fight to beat Delphi. There was a little gap back to third. Charlie Rose and some pretty well-performed horses behind them. So, look, it's certainly a race he can run well in. The Caulfield Cup, you know, I wouldn't have him favourite, but I think he can run really well in it, given he'll get in with a winnable weight, plenty of merit on the clock from his win on the weekend, which we love to see, strength to his overall time and closing sectional. So, yeah, he's in the picture for sure.
Is there a good staying race in a horse like Delphi? What'd you make of Charlie Rose that was heavily supported? And Port Gion was an interesting runner, the former French galloper that failed first up, but he was the eye-catcher for mine late there, Gator.
It was nice work late, wasn't it? It was a much better effort than what we saw at the Valley. Obviously, yeah, getting away from that tight track was significant. Delphi was good, settled inside the winner and came off the winner's back. Did give him 1.5 kilos and he's only just been beaten. He was race fastest home, 11.89 that last 200. So a really good run. There's a win in him soon, probably second level. and Charlie Rose. She had the rails trail, and then by race seven, I'm not convinced, you know, she was in the A1 spot, back to the inside, but she's run quite well. She was 11th fastest last 200, though, but I'm factoring in the inferior ground. Loved the run of Grand Promenade for the right race. Ahmad was good, yep. And Avow and Declare and even Future Score ticking over nicely, so a lot to take out of the race.
We'll rip through these races because the host of questions are coming in for you, Gator, 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation with Racing Rewind. Is General Bo just a dead set 1,000-metre horse? And we learnt something from him too on the weekend when he missed the kick and he was out the back, or do you think there's a big race in him? Maybe he could be competitive down the straight in the Coolmore from what you saw there on the weekend there, Gator.
Yeah, well, the Coolmore's 1,200. So,
correct. So can he perform like that over 1,200, or do you think he's a 1,000-metre horse?
Look, I think he's more effective at 1,100 at the moment, yep. But ridden differently, which you saw on Saturday, sort of by mistake almost, by accident. They've perhaps discovered something. It wouldn't be the first time in history. And it was a very good win off a good speed, ran really good time, and I think beat a good one in Ranveer. So a lot to like about the win, and he did carry 58.5 doing it as well. Can he win a Coolmore? Look, I think ridden that way, he can run a strong 1,200, but I'm not sure he can run it fast enough to win that sort of race.
Do you think Lightsaber can trouble the scorers in a Caulfield Guineas?
Oh, God, no. No, they were awful on Saturday. Yeah, those horses, I think...
They're not in your furs, they're probably in the seconds or thirds.
Oh, look, our seconds are pretty well at the moment as well, so not sure we can get a game there either. But, look, it was a pretty slow finish, bunched finish, bit of interference, and nothing changed its position. So, I'm not buying in there.
No, Moods might have something to say about that. You never know with Lightsaber.
Well, I've been wrong before. Yes. This is the thing, you know. Not often, as you know. No. But, yeah.
So, put a line through the Caulfield Guineas prelude form. Like, how far would have Adamo won that?
With clear running, yeah, he might have lapped a few of them. But look, we get to see him on Saturday, don't we, in the Golden Rose, and I'm sure he'll start favourite of what we saw first up.
So he's $2.50 now for the Caulfield Guineas, and James Cummings, from all reports, he's traded on nicely after that victory at Kembla Grange first up. So if he turns up there at Caulfield on Guineas Day and meets the field that we expect him to meet, what we've seen anyway, what price will he be?
Well, look, I think there's a bit of autumn sun about it.
So $1.80, $1.70 we're talking?
Well, what did the autumn sun do? Sat three wide, no cover, and won by five, didn't he?
Correct.
So I think he might just have a bit on them. And look, it's a horse race. Things can change. Things can happen. But all things as they stand, I think he has every right to be a dominant favourite. Let's put it that way.
And we might just quickly touch on Bella Nipotina. She was devastating off a sit there. Found the key to her, I think. Chassis keeps on running massive races. And La Mexicana, she was brave.
Yeah, she was. She's very honest, La Mexicana. She's not a star, but she's got a great will to win. So too, Chassis. Gee, she really wanted it. Those two girls had a two-horse war. They only had one problem, and that was Bella Nipotina, who was just too good for them both. Sure, she had a nice run in behind them, best part of the track, but was absolutely bolting, but held up hopelessly. And you thought, here goes another parlay out the gate with bad luck. But she burst through. She was only clear 125 metres from the line and still won, by a decisive margin. So no doubt the right horse won. And her 11.36 home, even though she was held up for most of it, was the quickest of the day.
It makes you think, and Kieran Moe and David Eustace changed her pattern a little bit. They ride her with the sit compared to early days when she was on pace making her own luck, Bella Nipotina. But then you get a horse like the Zara train galloper, of course, Bentley Bow, that missed the kick, came from well back and showed that turn of foot. You wonder how many other horses might change the way that they go about it if they change their racing pattern. Yeah, and it can work the opposite way as well.
No doubt. Yeah, as I say, the General Bow's not the first horse in history where that's happened by mistake and they learn something, and that's what good trainers do. They're forever not closed off to improving their knowledge about their athletes. And I think Bella Nipotina is in that unique category, though. I think she's actually really adept at both. She did lead and win, of course, at Caulfield two runs ago, and actually ran really good time relative to the away game race on the day, which most of these rivals sort of contested. So I thought it was an easy line to draw for her. But given that string to her bow, it's very likeable. And she's obviously matured a little bit as well. So, you know, obviously the previous camp did a great job with her as well. But just with that natural maturity, she's settling better now, I think, as well. So she's a proper horse now.
Saki's a $2.50 favourite. V Very Elegant at $7. After watching Very Elegant in the George Main to win her ninth Group One, do you think they should be a little bit closer in the market come the Cox Plate?
Oh, look, I think so. I think it's a little disrespectful to Very Elegant, to be honest, because she's got all the runs on the board. Zaki's, the new kid on the block, but he's a pretty good kid, doing what he's doing. He didn't lose any friends first up. And a couple of outstanding wins, in Queensland. Had me going back through Might and Power type times from some of those races. So he's, I think he deserves to be favourite, but I think your point's fair enough that she will give him a race because she's a star and she's got a great will to win. She'll be in for the fight if they get in a dogfight.
If it's a soft 6-7 come Cox Plate Day at Moonee Valley, say like we had the track there last year, Gator, and you're on Sky Racing 1, you probably tip Saki on the Thursday. But are you telling the viewers there that maybe if I knew this on the Wednesday, I might tip Very Elegant? Or would you stick with Saki on a rain-affected track still?
Yeah, look, at the moment, I certainly would have Saki as favourite if you're telling me to frame a mark, and it's sort of what you're doing. So I think he deserves to be favourite, but I think your other point's valid that they should be closer together. And now, the reality is probably only one horse will win it. So, what price is right and wrong, we'll know after the race. But Zaki will probably have a head start on Very Elegant in the run. He's going to run a very strong last 400. He handles the jar out of the track. We know with her, though, she's, elite when that rain comes. So it will be fascinating to see as we get closer to the big one.
I was watching the shorts there and I was thinking, going towards the Everest, it confused me just a little bit. Like, Nature's Trip will be vulnerable in a hard run race, 1,200 metres, if they do the tactics like they did with Enwato once again, who basically outstayed him in a way, out-toughed him over the 1,100 metres. Gitra, who knows if he got out, but he did this last year and just couldn't go with them off a strong pace there in an Everest. I look back to Masked Crusader and I thought, the other horses out the back, he went past them pretty easily. It was a difficult track. It was nearly impossible to make up ground, shifting ground with rain on that track during a meeting. I gave him a big tick for my Masked Crusader, Gator. Did I read that race wrong?
No, you never do if it's an opinion, but I've certainly read it the same way. I thought he was terrific, given where he was in the run. Slow out again, which is something that he just needs to address, and I'm not sure how he can so deep into his career. How they're going to
something in the feed of all that. I don't know. It's the bird there that talks to the horses at the Hawks table. If it's either Shataka or Nature to Masked Crusader in the same colours, it's fascinating, that, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. And history says that they find once they get out these little traits, they're quite tricky to get out of. I mean, I remember him leading and winning a race at Rosedale, I think it was, by 5 lengths. So he's got gate speed, but he seems to have deserted him. But look, given the pattern of the day, I was with you. I thought he ran terrifically well. But, spotting him 10 lengths, even without a track bias, he was never going to run down them. So that's going to be his problem in an Everest. Can he be within, 4 or 5 lengths instead of 400?
What about a Tissue? Can she win a big Group 1 after winning the Bill Ritchie, or was she also advantaged by the way that she... I couldn't believe how close she settled, first of all, Gator. Timmy Clark can work wonders like that, but she was impressive again.
I had a bit of a chuckle. They said they notified stewards they're going to ride her a bit closer. So how could that be impossible, given she settled 400 lengths off them? So she only gave me 380 lengths off them? Anyway, once she was ridden up and got into the 1-1 trail with 53.5, given the pattern, she was going to be hard to beat. What she does do is chase really well. We saw that first up, and then the big finish from that spot second up. And a good field there on Saturday, but had the right run doing it. The race is rated well. I think she's in the conversation for sure.
Gareth Hall with you, along with Matty Stewart and now David Gately. G'day, Matty. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Hello, Gareth and Gator. How are you, mate?
I'm good.
Now, we've got a couple of questions for you, Gator, and Maddie's going to join in as well. How many lengths does Saki win by in the Underwood, Gator? Will she be shorter, or will he be shorter than $1.50, the current price?
Well, it doesn't look like there's a lot of depth to the opposition with respect. So I don't know the answer to the question, but I think he'll be tipped by everyone, put it that way.
I think Annabelle will be... I think she'll be happy that it's at Sandown. I think I'm looking forward to seeing him on the hillside track with the open spaces, Gator.
Yeah, it's a fair point, isn't it? I mean, obviously, you know, you still got to get around the valley. There are queries with that. I think more good horses handle it than don't. So it wouldn't be disastrous. But, yeah, the nice big track at Sandown. He'll have clear running, you'd think, and hopefully goes on his merry way.
But as you say, what's likely second favourite?
Probably. Probably. She's backing up in the Underwood Stakes. How do you think she'll go against Saki? This is from Lee Gator.
Well, she ran well in a Cox Plate, probably. I thought she ran really well, given the track was soft. I do think 2000 is the real bottom end of her endurance levels, but she sat close to a really hot speed that day in the Cox Plate and actually looked a fleeting hope on the turn, but then they were too strong for her the last 200. I get a feeling that last 200 is going to be problematic again for her relative to Zaki.
Is it Underwood 1800 or 2000?
1800.
Yeah. I wonder whether that's a sweet spot for her too. At the very least, Gator, she's going to give us a good measure of him, because if he beats her by three lengths hard held, then he's dead set flying, isn't he? Because not many can do that to her.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And, yeah, obviously 1,800 is going to suit her a lot better than the 2,000, you'd think. So, she's been good, both a good solid win first up, beating Chassis, you know, and then was quite good given the weight disadvantage of her in the Rupert Clark. So she's going really well. I'm not totally convinced she's right at the top level of her game, where she sat three wide to win an Epsom.
Gate, I don't think the shorts was any guide to an Everest, the way that the deteriorating track played. I think Masked Crusader was given an even playing field, is still the one to beat. That's from the form doctor.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't come out and say he's the one to beat, but I certainly wouldn't argue overly strongly with you either. I mean, it's an opinion-based sport. I mean, you are getting a good price to find out if you want to back him now, if you get a better track. And what he wants, clearly, is a level playing field, because what he's guaranteed in that race is speed. But if you could tell me now, he'll settle five lengths off him or six lengths off him instead of 12, and no track bias, then, yeah, I could back him.
Chris Waller was interesting this morning talking about Nature's Trip, Matty.
He was. Gator, I asked him if there was a chink in the armour of Nature's Trip that Gitra and Eduardo had a knack of finding, and he said he pretty much does, and he's... For that reason, he thinks that in order to win the Everest, he's going to have to... He goes against the moody, let fast horses be fast, but he thinks that he probably has to come to not lead to win the Everest, Nature's Trip.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because, we've all thought to this point that's been his A-game, isn't it, to sort of control things. He did come from just off the speed to win a big Group 1 last prep, though, didn't he? And he took a trail in the really fast, ridiculously fast run Everest last year, but he wasn't at his best. I think we all agree there. But, look, precedent happens a lot in racing. Now, he was beaten pretty much in the identical circumstances by Eduardo last time. Eduardo was first up, he was second up. And Eduardo got him late, when, despite Nature Strip looking the winner. I think Nature Strip, no matter what happens, he'll beat home Eduardo in the Everest.
It was interesting that Wallace said that it surprised him that Nature Strip had a blow after the race. He said, I didn't think he would, but he did. So might be something there.
Gate, if he qualifies, I think we touched on this a little bit. Do you think Delphi can win the Caulfield Cup? This is from Peter from Port Melbourne. Had very good international form.
Look, I think he's there to run well in that race. If we're giving non-conformist a chance, he must have one too. He gave a kilo and a half to that horse on Saturday, beaten narrowly, and was only second up. Non-conformist was third up. So if they raced again next week, you could make a very strong case he turns the tables, especially at getting some weight relief.
How do the ratings work, Gator? Does each jurisdiction have their own, or does your rating hold up in different states, e.g. Victoria and Sydney? It's a matter of opinion, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure I fully grasp the question.
Is it different? Do they rate horses from their performances? So would Very Elegant be rated differently by the Victorian handicappers than, say, the New South Wales handicappers? Or is there a platform or a criteria that they need to follow?
Yeah, look, I don't know the answer. Yeah. You know, there'd be a set formula they'd work on. But like anything rating, it's still going to come down to opinion, isn't it? I mean, you heard Greg Carpenter on last week, you know, and all the stuff was backed up scientifically to some extent. But the foundation of all of this sport is opinion.
Yeah. It's a half-interesting question in that some horses are dead set a length and a half better right-handed than left. But I don't think racing can be segregated into different handicapping for different locations.
It's complicated as it is.
As it is, yeah, exactly.
And this is from Chris from Mount Waverley. Why is the rail off at Caulfield when the rail's out 6 metres? Caulfield has a bad record for rails runners. That's from Chris. Your thoughts on that, Gator?
Look, it seems to be a pretty common trade. I remember a pro punter telling me 20 years ago when they had the wooden rail, well, here's what will happen at Caulfield today. Back this thing at 10 to 1 because it'll be back coming wide and by race 8 they'll be off the fence. I thought, okay, exactly what happened, and it came out and won. So nothing's really changed. Even though they've got the movable rail now, especially when there's rain during the day and horses can chop into the track, it does seem to happen a lot at that track and a lot of other tracks as well.
As Tommy Berry pointed out on Saturday, he goes, when the rail is out, it favours leaders at Randwick, but when it's back in the true, they can actually swoop, and they've done that in the past there, Gator.
Yeah, the Randwick's obviously, you know, they're a little bit different, but, Tommy's point's really valid, but that track on Saturday was really tough, wasn't it, to get out and make. It was really cut up out wider from what I heard from the six people on course.
Yep. It's funny how the rail out at Caulfield has the opposite pattern to the rail out at Randwick and Moonee Valley. Rail out Valley and Randwick leaderish, but Gator, when it's out at Caulfield, I often see horses sailing down the outside, like that example you used from your old mate, the pro punter.
Yeah, look, it is a great track to bet on, isn't it? I mean, you know, when it gets fast and firm, you know, it can be really difficult to make ground if, you know, the wind's doing a certain thing as well. So I think we're onto it mostly, but I think most punters would agree it's one of the great tracks to have a bet on.
Does a tissue head towards a Metropolitan in Sydney, or is that a stretch too far? That's from Dave.
Oh, look, 2400 might be a bit of a test for her. I think I read between the lines they were heading to the Epsom, weren't they, with her? So
yeah.
1600, 2000 might be more her wheelhouse.
Would you be nervous if you're the boss of the lost and running slot?
Oh, look, it's a clear forgive run on Saturday. You know, I think any horse sitting wide, no cover, especially in a solidly run race on that track on Saturday was 1,000 to 1. This probably tells you how well Private Eye ran. Plus, he pulled up lame, which can't help.
I know Bonza Perla won at big odds and is still coming through the grades, but she looks like getting better with racing. Do you think Bonza Perla's group class? That's from Mark from West Meadows.
Look, it was a good chase and a good win, and she is still relatively early in her career, so who knows where her ceiling is. You'd have to say, if Heresy is not covering ground and giving her 2 kilos, the winner's not Bonza Perla. But that doesn't take a lot away from the win. Probably not enough substance on the clock for me to say, hey, presto, here's a really good horse. But as I say, she does have upside.
Matty Stewart, you've just written an interesting piece once again about Jamie Carr, and the comment part of the story's blown up. Because does it divide opinion regarding whether she should push on to the Supreme Court or not?
Oh, it's sort of interested in your take too, Gator. Just to me, it just keeps the whole thing going. And my understanding is the Supreme Court hearing may not take place for, say, up to 6 months. And so she may have already served her 3 months, and then she's still got this issue confronting her from the past. So I'm just not sure. I know she wanted to draw a line in the sand because, you know, I think the 5 months is just stunning how long her penalty will be for this, and it doesn't seem fair, but it also seems that by appealing the lie misleading penalty, it just keeps the whole story going, and I think it's the last thing in the world she deep down would want is to keep this thing going.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, isn't it? I mean, obviously, I think anyone who's level-headed and right-minded understands the human need to be, the justice needs to be done to you, and I fully respect that, you know, till the day I die. And but I think your point's really valid that, you know, it does draw the thing out sort of long-term, but gee, it has become a monstrous penalty, hasn't it?
Yeah, 5 months. It is a big penalty, but
half a year for an illegal party. It really is a stunning overlapping, but it when you follow the legal story. One had to lead to the other.
Well, there's two different charges, isn't there? She's got 3 months for breaking the protocols for the COVID situation, and it's a completely different charge to lying to the steward. So that holds a different penalty, doesn't it?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's why she's got 2 months on top of it. Yep. To bring it together, saying she's got 5 months for that party is wrong. She got 3 months for the party and then 2 months for lying to the stewards.
About the party.
About the party.
Yeah, correct.
But it's nothing about the party's penalty, if you know what I mean.
No, everything and anything that happened and subsequent has led to the fall. And I do feel for her. And I look, if she feels she needs to be vindicated, but... You know, gee, imagine if this was heard in March or something.
Anything else that we should be reading on rsn.net.au, the brand new website? We can catch Gator stuff now on Saturday with his detailed analysis of each race, that you can see that in written format, which is great.
It's been a clicking frenzy on the Gator tips, as there should be. Have you followed the story, Gator, of the Tassie senior jockeys who all sat out because they didn't have the faith in the two young apprentices that they were capable enough to ride against them on the weekend?
First I've heard of that, but it's a good one. It's juicy.
Yeah. So we're going to follow that through, and it'll be on our website a little bit later on.
Gator does everything. I don't know if he's got the Tassie just set at this busy time. Good on you, Gator. Thanks for that. We'll catch up with you on Thursday with the game plan.
Bet you will. Thanks, team.
Matty, you just keep on dominating.